You're listening to WPBM LP in Asheville, North Carolina. 103.7 on your dial and streaming globally at WPVMFM.org.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard.
I missed the halftime show. I knew that if I was going to watch any of it, it would be that. The football part, that I would miss. But I don't have a television.
Nate, all my colored abstractions suddenly turned to because it was more younger.
Nora, las hembras son como todo. En esta tierra desgraciada, con arte se saca al pez del mar, del mar. Con arte se ablanda el hierro.
Like, it's the, gosh, I said, my man has a trilogy. Because whenever I think of trilogy, you know, I'm thinking Ali Frazier.
Yeah, Graziano Zale. Think about the limitation of a worldview for a child. If you think about what you have knowledge of as a small child,
as the sound enters my inner ear and vibrates through
so remember that the time to act is now. It's time for a social transformation.
Listen and be heard. Why not?
This is why I love the glow. You know, I love America, but I also I think
black, the infinite beauty in God's perfect sight.
To introduce
beautiful
to
and black, like the darkest night.
Pedro Pietri, whose books are part of my home, and come where I roam.
Welcome back to the Audio Garden, my friends. I'm so glad to be here with you, and I'm waiting for Del Gonzalez to come to the garden gate. We're all going to learn a bit more about physical theater from Del. We're also going to hear some new music, of course, from my co-producer, Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra. But first, we're going to listen to some poetry. This is Vanessa Lee Miller, who joined my other co-host and co-producer, Tony Robles, back in, I think it was season two of the Listen and Be Heard Hour.
Avai, the river, her kaholo, her long, sinuous journey begins as a watery, pencil-thin line, a mere trickle, mauka, way up high. Looking towards Na Lani on Mauna Kea. Her awana is a graceful journey iho down slope towards rainy Hilo. Ai, Hilo ikawa kanilehua. As she continues to iho, journey down slope, a magical transformation ensues. From her embodiment of a graceful, delicate trickle, she widens, becoming voluptuous. She's now a raging beast, plunging turbulently downward, full of enna, capable of arbitrarily grasping in her watery fist a young, reckless life and smuggling it into one of her many deep, cavernous pockets in her slimy ana. She'll stash it there, it's hers, until the pale, lifeless form struggles through a multitude of tempestuous undercurrents to surface somewhere evil downslope. But during the course of her journey, she leaves a trail of dazzling performances after week upon week of infinite drops of rain from Na Lani. Awestruck Malihini call these wonders Pi'ihonua Camp Cascades, Boiling Pots, Rainbow Falls. Old Hawaii calls them Poakana, Koakanini, Pe'epe'e, Waia Nui Nui. She weaves ever so gracefully, skirting around sacred, smooth boulders, leaving her mossy footprints of slippery limu. She continues to awana in the wee hours of the morning. From my hamakua facing bedroom window, I hear her raging, bellowing sounds, drowning out the lonely, searching calls of the small, scaly river creatures of the night. Searching in blind rage, she leaves no boulder, no jagged rock, no slimy pebble unturned. River mole waits, watching her every move, hearing her belches and snorts and eerie releases. He, shaking out the raindrops from his mane of writhing eels, belts out a wicked laugh. "Get plenty time," he says, slowly, sharpening his battle-ready claws against the skull boulder. He waits patiently for the right moon. O Wailukuyu watery, undulating Wahine Ali'i, once a graceful trickle from Na Lani, you've morphed into a skull crusher, you stone carver, you mo'o slayer, so bloodthirsty for the fearless, sweet weed-scented swimmer. Or was it the claw of the mo'o, of the rain-drenched cave of Goddess Hina, that dragged the young Baga into the murky depths? Upon reaching her deep, dark, limu-laden green mouth, Maka'olamakila, she forcefully surrenders, her full, swollen self plunging once more into the wide, stormy bay. Both river and sea currents reluctantly mingle. She truly is what old Hawaii called her, destructive waters, Wailuku, the river, life-giving, life-grasping, ruthless Kahawai. E Wailuku I ka ua loku loku, e Wailuku I ka ua ka lai lepo, e Wailuku I ka ua nohu ili, e Wailuku I ka ua ka lai pohaku, e Wailuku I ka ua ho'omomona aina, e Wailuku I ka ua makana nui I ka mahi ai.
We've had many magical moments here in the Audio Garden, and I do believe that that poem from Vanessa Lee Miller is an example of one of them. And I encourage you to listen to the interview with Tony Robles that's in our archives at listenandbeheard.net. Another great guest was Randy Gonzalez, and coming to the garden gate right now is his son, Del Gonzalez.
I'm so happy to welcome Del Gonzalez to the Audio Garden today. And Del, as we're speaking, it will be over by the time this airs, but you're participating in a festival here in New York City. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's FizzFest NYC, and it started 3 years ago. And it's a culmination of, for me at least, a project that I've been working on for about a year. And I've been lucky enough to perform it. It was curated and performed at FizzFest NYC. And this festival hosts a large range of people within the physical theater sphere. And that includes mimes, clowns, dancers of different sorts. Whatever people define as physical theater is what happens at this festival. And it's amazing. They have lots of workshops and performances and free events. And it was really great to be a part of a community for a week. And I'm happy that it's still going on. And I still have a couple of days left. So tonight I'll go see a show, and then I'll attend some panels later this weekend. So I'm really excited for that.
So it sounds like you're getting a lot out of seeing the other performances and meeting other people participating in the festival.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny enough, the piece that I created, The Adventures of Beastie, it really, why I like created the piece was really from inspiration at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I was performing a piece called Things We Will Miss there, which I actually also performed at the FizzFest NYC. And I went to two or three shows a day in Edinburgh. And that creative energy literally spawned a dream in my brain where I dreamed in theater and I dreamed of the concept of my show. And a year later, I created it and luckily enough put it on in New York City.
That's a great story. So tell us a little more about The Adventures of Beastie, which people can find on Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, The Adventures of Beastie. It's actually a really simple concept. It's The Adventures of Beastie, right? So it centers around this character of Beastie. And Beastie is, you would describe Beastie maybe as a sweet creature. Think about like Lilo and Stitch. Kind of just like a really sweet creature guy. It's gendered. I don't know why. So how he was created, actually funny enough, he was created through just joke, like me and my partner, my girlfriend joking around. And we both kind of created this character together. This really sweet character that sounds like this. Oh, hello.
So you had this concept of Beastie. You and your partner had this concept of Beastie. And you're part of this physical theater festival. So I'm assuming that this Adventures of Beastie is very physical. So how does this work together between having this concept and you were telling me before we started, you know, it's not necessarily easy to translate to audio what you're doing.
Yeah.
So how do you do the magic between this concept of a character and giving them some lines, right? You're writing right for the character, but yeah, there's more to it than that.
A lot of the discovery, I think, for me and in my process was just purely, I mean, physical. It's just really being in the space where I can create something like a theater or any kind of studio. For me, that was at Hamilton College, which I graduated from last year. I was fresh out of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I had this concept, this character, and it was time to create my thesis project, whatever that may be, whatever I chose. And I was like, you know what? I had this dream. I think I'm going to make this into a show. I have the opportunity. It can be created here. I have the space and the resources. So I went into the studio and at first, well, of course, we actually had to write a 10-page proposal. So I did that, did some writing. And then from there, it was really big learning curve because I had some clown training in the past, but I had never created a clown show. So to do that, I had to create my clown. And what that meant, that started off with some Lecoq exercises. It's a clown from France.
So is Beastie your clown, or are you a clown who's doing a Beastie part? I'm sorry to be so particular, but I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. Beastie, I would not say, is my clown.
Okay.
And I would say as a performer, I'm a baby clown. I've taken a couple workshops and I trained at RADA, and at RADA we had clown classes, but I've not done intensive clown work. And I just think there's just levels to the game. I'm a baby clown, and Beastie is this amalgamation of my clown with a character concept that really exists within the story theater concept that we created in The Adventures of Beastie. The original exercises, one of them was really interesting. My professor, Marguerite Blush, trained in clown and passed down this lineage of clown training to me. And the first exercise was like finding the clown's body. And what that meant was I would just stand still without trying to fix anything, just completely just relax and be myself. And someone would watch me. And they would just like, it took about like 5 minutes of them just like looking, no one saying anything, just looking at my body, analyzing every, like how my neck was being held up and how like, and I'm completely relaxed. I'm not trying to do anything, like my feet position. And then my professor said, okay, great, now. And then to the person that looked at me, stand like how Dell was standing. And the person stood like how I was standing. And my head just went, wow, that's me. I don't know what you're doing, but you're standing. I mean, I could feel me and you. It was really strange. And then we talked about it. And I was like, okay, so what were the conscious choices you made to this other person? You made within your body to depict what you saw in Dell. And for me, I think I hold a lot more tension in the right side of my body. And it's funny that if you look at like videos of me from my childhood, I'd always hold myself like this and naturally standing.
For our listeners, your head was tilted to the side.
Yes, yes. My head tilts to its right side. But what we did from there is to really get into the body of the clown is to really exaggerate that tension and walk, move in a space holding that tension. And then from there, improvising scenes. And it escalated from there. That is how I physically found a piece. But also much of the piece and its inspiration was created through interviews with my family members about my childhood. And we also watched a bunch of childhood videos as well. So I really embracing kind of this inner child within the character.
He doesn't like speed. Okay, Mr. Camel, you ready? Okay, a spit. Okay, it worked!
I'm Tony Robles, co-host of Listen and Be Heard. This is Listen and Be Heard Radio.
I'd like to talk about your family for a moment because I'd like to acknowledge the connection that brought you to this interview. Your dad, Randy Gonzalez, who wrote Settling St. Malo, was a guest on Listen and Be Heard. I think it was our first season he was interviewed by Tony Robles. I'm always talking about how we are the network, and this is how things happen. A proud papa is talking about what his son, just freshly graduating, is up to in New York City, a New York City premiere. And of course, I was very happy to hear about that and extend an invitation. But you're working on a documentary with your dad. Could you tell us a bit about that documentary project?
Yes, this project has been in the works for some time now, and I'm really excited about it being shown to people. So it's a documentary with poetry, and there's some visuals, and my dad was on camera, which he loved. For my part in that, I read some poetry and I did this news voice that I was really trying to embody through my voice, kind of like a 1930s, 1920s New Orleans reporter. But I added a little bit of Atlantic British accent in there to really make it its own thing.
Oh, so you're actually acting in the documentary.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Do you feel connected to that, though? Because the stories of, you know, Settling St. Malo are really the story of Filipino immigrants creating St. Malo. Do you feel a lineage from those stories through your dad to what you're doing today? How has that affected your experience? Because it's not only a collection of poetry, it's a documentation, an experience that has not necessarily been written in the history books, but an important one that your dad is connected to, and so you must be also.
Yeah, I definitely do see myself within that lineage. It's really interesting having a father who is so engrossed in a history and promoting and uplifting voices from the past, particularly Filipinos in Louisiana. I find it's really interesting because when I was a kid, I was racialized very much as just generally Asian. We moved from Abu Dhabi to Louisiana. And when I moved to Louisiana and Pearl River, Louisiana, which is pretty rural, there was really only white kids. So, and me and my brother. So how they perceived us was just generally Asian. And I think because of that, I lost a sense of Filipino-ness. We would go to Filipino community events, but I would distance, and this is the story of many Asian Americans, I believe, I would distance myself from my Filipino-ness in any sense. I would kind of pretend that I didn't like the food, like when my mom would make some Filipino food, I'd have friends over and be like, yeah, it's not that good, but you know, I really loved it. It's really interesting to have a father that really educated me in the household later on, you know, when I had those experiences, and then someone who can talk about race and who can talk about the being Filipino and kind of, like you said, that lineage in Louisiana. And really during COVID, he gave me a bunch of Asian American literature and I read and read and read. And I was like, wow, okay, so my experience isn't the only one and I am part of something larger going on here. And in regards to being Filipino, I will tell other Filipino friends now, I will like proudly tell them about the history that my dad has not uncovered, but brought to attention. I'm proud of my dad and I love sharing that with other people. And it's funny how little people know about Filipino history in Louisiana and particularly other Filipinos.
You've been doing this FizzFest. What's coming up after that for you?
What I hope from this festival, I wanted to see how my piece was perceived by the general public. I performed it initially at Hamilton College. So my audience was derived of professors and students and a lot of people that knew me generally. So, and within clowning is about failing and failing and failing and failing and failing and getting up and embracing the fail. And I think that I was in an environment where I was uplifted each time I failed, no matter what. And I think this environment was a test for me because it was a place where I was unsure about how it would be perceived. And at sometimes I was like, are people liking it? Of course, with anything being presented in front of the audience, you know, you can kind of feel what they're, or you think you can feel what they're feeling. And I think it was perceived positively. And from that, I want to now hopefully bring my piece to other places and to other venues. And I think I just really want to share more of this work with other people and adapt it and change it and let it grow with me. I think it's my first piece that I've created and I want to create more. And I want to share that with the world. But
so how can the world follow you and stay in touch with what you're doing?
For The Adventures of Beastie, if you want to follow along, there's an Instagram that we've created called the.adventuresofbeastie. It looks like someone else took The Adventures of Beastie, which is crazy because I thought that was an original idea, but someone has that name.
Do you have your own website as well, right?
It's delgonzalez.com, so no one else has that one.
Yes, Del Gonzalez with an S at the end, Gonzalez. Yeah.
Once it's heard, it can't be unheard. Once it's published, it's not going to be unpublished. Once you read the poem, you can't unread it. No matter how an individual may try to push it to the side, forget about it, it's still in there. And it's the words, the meaning, the feelings behind it are taking root in their psyche. And they can't get rid of it.
My Louisiana public school education, which at the time was ranked number 50, I believe, in the country. And I don't recall having an experience in which I was confronted with wanting to read something and it was banned. But I do recall learning somewhat of a revisionist history. And it's really funny, having had gone to Hamilton College with most people coming from the Northeast, most other students coming from the Northeast, and talking about our education and what we learned in high school and reflecting on where our different backgrounds. And every time I'd reflect on my Louisiana education, I'd be like, yeah, well, we learned the Civil War completely different from how people in the Northeast learned about it.
In what way?
And it's funny because I don't think it was necessarily the textbooks. I do actually think it was the teachers. I think the consensus within the classroom was that the Civil War was not a thing of race and was rather a thing of states' rights in the South.
Okay.
Of course, the classic, which I later learned, of course, I didn't know the time. And talking at home with my professor dad, you know, I learned.
Uh-huh. You got another version of the story. You know, I know what you're talking about. And I remember my son coming home one day when he was in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade in Greenville, South Carolina. And his teacher was telling him that Malcolm X was the devil. And so that was the history lesson I needed to address on that day. And so I think I'm a little familiar with what you're talking about. And I thank you for that. Thank you so much, Del Gonzalez, for spending this time with me in the Audio Garden.
Thank you so much, Martha. It's been a really lovely time. Thank you for having me.
Say hi to your dad. And tell me we want to hear about that documentary.
Yes. I can't wait to hear more,
Thank you so much.
Ice. A word. A cold, hard word frozen forever with meaning learned much more than what each letter stands for on paper. Pushed around by people with pens, their swords delivering a thousand cuts to a dream deferred. A dream denied, a dream dreamed by a woman in a cave brave enough to behave according to art. An art that would cost her life and limb for the sin of ignoring borders and not paying tariffs on her journey as woman on earth, giving birth without a certificate, knowing hot blood in her veins is the total sum of your worth. So there are enforcers, so there are customs and traditions and taxes, and there's sedition too, and instigation, inflammation, rhetoric. And she's a girl hiding in the cave, singing her song until they drag her away and lie about what she had to say. Because they don't play or sing or anything, just point and shoot, and they're loot if you follow the money and laugh like it's fun.
Listen and Be Heard Network is a project of Sound System Culture. We're always commercial free, and we offer this programming free to educational community radio stations around the country. If you would like to support our efforts, you can go to listenandbeheard.net or soundsystemculture.world. And we're offering a free gift if you should decide to do that, which is a copy of Mark and the Queen Fish, a middle grade fairy tale by yours truly that will be coming out on Atmosphere Press in the summer of 2026. I see Aranon on the other side of the bridge, and I'm heading that way. He's dug into the archives and found some new music for us to listen to that you will only hear here in the Audio Garden on the Listen and Be Heard Hour. Please stick around, listen to the sounds of the Audio Garden, and I will meet you in a minute or two on the other side of the bridge.
Hurt people hurt people. And so why are they in pain? I mean, there's a million reasons and all kinds of things, but at the very base of it is the longing to be heard. It's weird if you think about in our society that it's so rare. That should be the easiest, you know, you're an amazing listener. That should be the baseline of everyone's experience, but it's not. And I remember when I first found you and I found Listen and Be Heard, and I told you this, that is the best name ever. And it's really, I think, what you have created is the recipe for human healing and revolution, which is to give everyone a chance to speak and be heard.
Because a lot of how I started was about trying to figure out how people could hear me, feeling like invisible in different spaces. So giving a space where people can actually listen and really feel heard is a blessing, and I really appreciate and thank
it. It feels like something is reciprocated there. It's listening in a space and then feeling like it really reminds me of acting, because that's what the entire craft is about. It's about listening to the other person and believing and entrusting that they will hear you and really hear you, really listen to you.
What's up? This is Hernan Ramiro, formerly known as J. Rodriguez, here, and we got a great show for you as always. Thank you, Martha Senator, and Listen and Be Heard Network for making this happen. And coming right up next, some of my favorite tracks, a trio recording that I did called As Spring Returns with Alex Blake and Victor Jones. And right after that, it's going to be my brothers and sisters from the Groove Collective with a song called Tito, featuring my really close friend and brother, the great Eddie Bobet, who's no longer with us, but he is burning on that, man, dedicated to the great Tito Puente. And that features Barney McCall and Jonathan Marin, Gindy Stressy, and Krista Burge, and myself, and Ruth Reguet on trombone, Fabio Moger, the crew, the Where, everybody's in that one. And then after that, we're going to close it off with a great piece of the beginning of a crossover hip-hop and jazz that we also did back in the day called I Am, featuring Nappy G, Abo Gordon Clay, Nappy G, Baby Power, and Alien Nation, along with Kenny Sressai and the rest of the crew and the gang, including Bill Ware. All right, on it. You only get to hear this here. All right, now, support Sound System Culture and Listen and Be Heard Network. Peace. Thank you.
Jesus old skin be humming. Where I've been drumming, resonating, creating sounds. Not by strumming, by pounding, sounding out of beat. On the back door, the trap door, the bottom floor of your mind. You gonna let us in this time? You let us in before. Do you want some more? Now that we've opened your third eye, open your third ear. Hear the words you used to fear. Can you recall all we taught you way back when? The time has come to build those skills again. Be collectively grooving, showing and proving. Vibe to the soothing sounds we exude. And wickedly, I'm Nappy G. Baby Power's next to me. We came to get open like a waltz by Chopin. The shit's back. You cannot fuck with that. All you big-headed fools get some big-ass hands.
Satisfaction when rapping, I make it happen. Your clapping's an inspirational vehicle. You are so beautiful. Chocolate profile, a worldwide style. Strutting up and down the aisles. You know your culture, so no one can insult ya. Once you give me smiles and laughs, then I'll approach ya. Put you in my nature, my love will never hate ya. With the rough circumstance, give me your hand, let's dance. The groove collective in the high house.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get where I'm coming from? Can you see my point of view? Do you care? Do you dare let go of what you think, what you thought, what you were taught? Because you've been listening. And now, you only hear what you are. Sophistication, elevation. Higher plans of contemplation.
always there are the children. There will be children in the heat of day. There will be children in the cold of winter. Children, like a quilted blanket, are welcome in our old age. Children, like a block of ice to a desert sheik, are a sign of status in our youth. We feed the children on our culture, that they might understand our travail. We nourish the children on our gods, that they may understand respect. We urge the children on the tracks that our race will not fall short. But children are not ours, nor we theirs. They are future, we are past. And how do we welcome the future? Not with the colonialism of the past, for that is our problem. Not with the racism of the past, for that is their problem. Not with the fears of our own status, for history is lived, not dictated. We welcome the young of all groups as our own, with the solid nourishment of food and warmth. We prepare the way with the solid nourishment of self-actualization. We implore all the young to prepare for the young, because always there will be children.
I was never the writer that says, I just want to write to tell a good story, right? There's some writers that know that, oh, since childhood I've written little books and I just want to tell people stories, right? I've never been that kind of writer. When I was a child, I wanted to be a counselor. I wanted to help others, and I wanted to give people the resources that they needed in order for them to be successful. And so when I went into my writing career, that's what I used my writing for.
That's Nee Rivera, who's featured right now on Beyond Borders, our sister podcast here on the Listen and Be Heard Network. Judy Tologan and I had an hour-long conversation with her about houselessness, food sovereignty, womanhood, a lot of things. And we also feature some of the poetry that Nee has written, as well as Julia de Burgos in English and Spanish. So there's a lot there to delve into, and I invite you to do that on our homepage right now at listenandbeheard.net. And coming up here on the Listen and Be Heard Hour next week, I'll be talking with Cipriano Belser, one of the founders of the Black Lantern Bookstore in L.A.
I think something that I didn't think of in the same way that I've been thinking about very differently in being a part of this, the bookstore project, is like the idea of archive, especially informal archive, how important that is for people and for culture, for community and for society, right? To make sure that like someone's taking care of your stories and your experiences.
And maybe I'll give a little context too around the project.
We have a physical space in Inglewood, California. And in that space, kind of two things are happening. One is the Black Lantern Bookstore, right? So it's a bookstore cooperative, all Black owned. It's myself, Cipriano, Natalie, and Zach. So we're the three who co-founded the space. And we had a lot of help from an organization called Community Movement Builders, which was originally out of Atlanta. They really helped us get started in the space. So it's a Black radical bookstore. We were trying to create something that's in the tradition of, you know, like Martin Sostre and all of those kind of like the whole Black books time, right? A place for the community to come, learn, talk, discuss, right? Explore new ideas.
I love the way the garden grows and the network that is growing outward from the garden, undetected, but still there, operating with its own energy. It was so much fun having Del Gonzalez visit us here today in the Audio Garden. He came by way of his father, Randy Gonzalez, responding to an email I sent out, a sort of New Year's greetings to people with updates about what I'm about doing these days. And Randy wrote back and told me that Del was also here in the city where I recently moved. And so it was great to make that further connection with Randy, who does so much of his own connection making there in Louisiana, connecting people to heritage and culture and the stories of our past.
Cipriano, likewise, is a friend of my daughter, Crystal Clearwaters, who recently decided to relocate to Los Angeles and got back in touch with her old friend, Cipriano Belzer, who has been my Facebook friend for many years, but who I never got to meet, and who I did not know was involved in this new project, the Black Lantern Bookstore. And so it's wonderful to welcome him also to the Audio Garden, and I'm looking forward to that next week. But you see what I'm saying. We make these connections, and we never know how those connections will create further connections in our lives. We have children, our children grow up, and they're also making connections, and it becomes a very wide web indeed. And we don't always see how it's growing or the many different directions it's growing in, do we? And yet it's still happening. It has been so cold, and I've been looking at my patio where I want to create raised beds, and that's about all I'm doing is wanting to do it, except for one thing, which is that as this empty nester now in New York City, I've been sampling a lot of the great food, and yet I try to be conscious about not wasting things. And part of the problem with eating takeout is that I wind up with all of these plastic takeout containers. And rather than toss them, I've been looking at them thoughtfully. And I have this idea that they're like building materials, especially when you stack them inside each other. If you have 10 plastic bowls, that's pretty strong to just be a stack under some paving stones, which the more I can raise my raised beds is the more the way I want it for this summer. So I've been saving all these containers, which will help me to raise the height of my beds. I'm determined not to spend any money or buy anything to grow this garden. So I'm going to stack all these plastic containers and put the paving stones that I have on top to weigh them down. And then I'm going to fill the bottom with a lot of shredded paper and cardboard and use the compost that I'm making for the top layer. So that's the plan, and it will grow from season to season, my friends, because that's how gardens grow. I want to use all the raw materials that I have around me, which is junk mail, plastic takeout containers, and I'm just looking at it differently. I guess I'll take some pictures and post it somewhere on the website now that I'm talking about it with you all and thinking about it. And that's how my garden grows. And that's how the network grows, too. We look around, as our good friend Marty Kahn has told us, make a list of our resources and think about how that list of resources is connected to the things that we feel we really must do. And make those connections and see what grows from them. This is Laura Langnick, who I connected with doing a live radio show at WPVM in Asheville, North Carolina.
It turns out that if food waste was a country, it produces, behind just China and the U.S., the third most greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow. Thanks, as always, to Davine Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves. KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network, for cultivating the audio garden in your communities
and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Minding my business, raking my leaves. I was approached by a testifying church-going lady. She was a blonde, I do believe. She says, if you wanna see the Savior, mister, you gotta tithe. And then she reached down between her two hallelujahs, and so did my eyes. She pulls a custom-made pocket-sized rhinestone Bible from between her breasts, and for the reasonable cost of $100, I bought it to lay my sins to rest. Oh, church lady got me lathered up. She sold me a Bible with a big